The church in Lebanon is very diverse in the sense of its belonging to the Catholic Church. Four of the denominations of the Eastern churches are based in Lebanon. And I'm talking about the Catholic Church. The Maronites are based in Lebanon. The Melkites are based in Lebanon. The Syrian Catholic and the Armenian Catholic. And these four denominations form a very important presence on the grassroots level. Their presence in the governmental stratas, in the economic stratas, in the cultural, and as well on the social level are very important.
How difficult is it? Because obviously these are four Catholic churches, but they are individual in their own history and in their own rights. How difficult is it sometimes to coordinate between them, or is it actually something that comes naturally?
Being where we are and how the things are affecting us, we've learned as Catholic churches to coordinate together and to know who goes first, where, when, and how. And at the same time, I must say that the level of coordination with the non-Catholic Christian churches has also gone very far forward in many of the dioceses where there is conviviality and there is communities from the Catholic and the Orthodox or the Protestant churches. They've learned to live together, to coordinate together, even where many of these churches on international level have not even set foot together.
In fact, that was one of the themes that was centered on during the Synod for the Middle East churches, this
yes.
great call to communion, to realize this patrimony that we have. And I suppose this, looking ahead now to Pope Benedict XVI's arrival in September in Lebanon, is this really galvanizing this active communion at a very basic level? How are you working together to prepare this visit?
Actually, a committee has been set by the Catholic Church where all the denominations of the Catholic Church are represented on the decision level or executive level, and on the I would say on the strategic level and on the executive level. And the visit had been organized with the Vatican officials that the Pope will be visiting the main sites, the main residences of the four Catholic patriarchs. At every patriarchate there will be a major event that will take place, and the big mass, the high mass, will be at the capital, Beirut, at the maritime face of Beirut, which is the last largest place in downtown Beirut before the construction start in it. They've reserved it for the papal mass. So the division of the activities in these four Catholic residences or administrative places of the patriarchs shows to which extent the coordination is really on a high level. At the same time, the Pope will be meeting with the officials from Christian non-Catholic churches, and at the same time, he will be meeting the officials from the Muslim communities. So everybody is getting ready in Lebanon to welcome him and to really tell him what they feel, and they are waiting from him to tell them what he feels. And it is to say that the Christians, all the Christians in the region, do not think at this stage whether they are Catholic or Orthodox or Protestant. They feel that they all are in the same boat, whether Christianity is going to survive in this part of the world? Are the Christians really to stay there? Are they truly considered to be part of the material of the area? There is international forces and lobbying groups who really are working to expel the Christians from there or to reduce them to a non-nominal presence. The Pope's visit to Lebanon is to tell the Christians that Rome is with them, the West is with them, that the Vatican is working with the international forces to know that an East without the Christians will not be in proper East, and at the same time work with the Muslim leadership to tell them that you without the Christians, you might be reducing yourself as well and putting yourself into a place where the contribution of Christianity to your culture and to your presence is going to be detrimental even to the Muslim faith.
This is another aspect I wanted to ask you about. We also know that at the Synod for the Middle East churches, there were the presence of some Muslim representatives and the Synod Fathers from the churches all over the Middle East spoke of the need to engage at a very practical level with the Muslim world. Lebanon is very particular in this circumstance, that there is a relatively good dialogue between the Christian communities in the widest sense and the Muslim community in Lebanon, but it is an exception, an increasing exception in the Middle East. How important do you think the example of the Muslims in Lebanon for the rest of the Middle East that they can give, and the Pope's meeting with them in Lebanon?
The Lebanese government has set on a national level a committee called the Islamo-Christian Dialogue Committee, recognized by the government, which means Christian and Muslim officials on the government level have recognized the work and the initiative, the initiatives that this committee is really has been undertaking. That's on the fortunate side. On the unfortunate side, that every time the political diversions strengthen in the country, we see as well a dislocation on the level of the dialogue that is undertaken within this committee. The members of this committee are really highly educated, well-known Lebanese Muslim and Christian for their education and their conviviality and their acceptance of each other. However, the politics in the country affects to a large extent the level of the dialogue. When the tension heightens between Christian and Muslims on political issues and governmental issues, we notice that the dialogue and the meetings of this committee, the official meetings of this committee, has really been reduced. When the officials have really decided to continue their dialogue around the president of the country, Mr. Michel Sleiman, we noticed as well that an effort has been put into this committee to continue what they were doing. So the politics indeed in this region affects to a large extent even the dialogue between Christian and Muslim.
Now, we can't ignore the fact that unfortunately tensions in the region are rising, not in Lebanon, of course, but it is an extremely sad and horrific time in the region, particularly for the Christian communities. We had, of course, the past of the exodus of Christians from Iraq. We are now seeing that, unfortunately, in the Syrian context, Christian communities are also suffering along with the rest of the Syrian community.
I'm confident that on the level of the church in the West and the officials of the church, because they know very well and they are deeply informed on the situation of the Christians in the Middle East and in Lebanon, they are doing their utmost. The problem falls where the politicians are concerned. Although the West is considered to a large extent Christian, but we know that the politicians in the West are really undertaken by their problems, their interior problems, their economic problems. I would call first upon all the Christians of the West and the regular citizens of the West to really try to understand the situation in this part of the world. The politics in this part of the world do not function the way they function in the West. And the model of the West in terms of democracy, tolerance, acceptance of the other, freedom of speech, human rights, is not applicable in the same ways these concepts or these values, I would say, are applicable in the West. So a proper understanding of how religion affects these values and how these values are stamped by the religious issues is very important, And I really would appeal to all the Western citizens in the Western countries, the United States, the Americas, and Europe, and Africa, to make an effort to understand. People in the Middle East do not look at these values the same way as they look at them in the West.
Would you say the loss of religiosity, the loss of religion, the deterioration of religion in the West means the West cannot understand a culture that is as profoundly religious as the cultures in the Middle East?
Yes, to a certain extent, because we are seeing on and on groups coming from the West as visitors or as pioneer of knowledge into the East, and it's taking them a lot of time to understand the reality of the matter, and they are coming as well with sometimes with set ideas. When people come with an open mind, they really can understand the reality. And I'm not being putting a judgment of value on the point. I'm just talking about it from a critical analysis, posture. So from the critical analysis posture, it is very important that we see more and more people, especially educated people and thinkers from the West, coming to understand that reality, talk about it, and expose it in the way it is. And I'm not as well holding a judgment of value, positive or negative, on what's really happening. I'm just exposing
the differences
as they are from an informative side, from an informative platform, not from a critical analysis platform.
It's the general geopolitical context, however, that this visit is taking place. And let's take it down a level and let's just speak about the atmosphere on the streets of Lebanon. We really have only a matter of weeks to go now. We're just hitting the 2-month mark. What stage are the preparations at? Literally, at a very practical level,
yes.
Have the altars been built? Have the designs been made? What are the people speaking about? Is there any excitement in the air? And are there any surprises you can let our listeners know about?
Well, as a person that know exactly what's going on, I can say that the visit is up to 8 over 10 in the preparation. All the strategic preparation, all the conception of the places, where what's going to happen where, is already done. We had a couple of weeks ago the visit of Dr. Gaspari, who's the official representative of the Pope, who's the coordinator of the visit of the Pope. We went with him over all the preparations, and after he put his stamp on it and we agreed on what's going to happen after visiting all the sites and meeting all the committees that are preparing, we had 1 week. After that, Monsignor Guido Marini, who is the head of the liturgical department at the Vatican.
Mm-hmm. Now, that must be very difficult, trying to coordinate the liturgies. It's only something that's kind of come into my mind now. How are you going to incorporate the 4 different ways of...
All is done perfectly up until now. We're going to have 7 choirs on the altar, each one chanting in his own right. So at the end, that's at the Mass of Beirut, the main Mass. Then we decided that all these choirs are going to come together and they all are going to chant the songs of everybody together.
Really? So we're going to have the Maronite chant in the...
No, we're
going
to have one choir,
mm-hmm,
that is composed of Maronite, Melkites, Armenian Catholic, Syrian Catholic and Latin. They all will be chanting the hymns of everybody, but if the chant is in Maronite, the director of the choir will be Maronite. If it's the hymn is in Latin, the director of the choir will come. The Latin director of the choir will take place. And it's going to be a choir of almost 300 people. And we are hoping that to receive a yes from the philanthropic musical troupe of Lebanon that will be playing the Mass for the Pope.
And how about the actual reconciliation of the liturgy itself? Because there's only the gospel can be chanted in how many versions? Well, we have it chanted in Latin and then chanted in also in Greek or Latin and also in Aramaic or...
Well, we're going to use the text of the gospel will be from the Maronite book, chanted in the Byzantine Rite. And the Hallelujah will be probably in the Armenian. And that's how we left it to the liturgist, Avec Monsignor Guido Marini, to organize all these things. And they've been done perfectly. Everybody is happy. Now we are at the very final stages of the printing of the books.
So it's really a liturgy that's going to reflect this rich mosaic of our oldest traditions
in
the church.
But the Mass itself will be in the Latin Rite. The Pope will be saying the Mass in the Latin Rite, not in the Latin language, but in the Latin Rite. There will be Latin pieces that will pass in the Latin language, but the chanting and the rest will be a mosaic of the Eastern Rites. It's very beautiful what's going to take place. We have a big gathering for the youth, that we are preparing big gathering for the youth. About 20,000 youth will be there as well to spend an evening of prayer with the Pope, to listen to his words. During that event, we've decided not to invite any politician of the country. That's going to be function for the youth with the Pope. And definitely the officials of the church. Any politician would like to come to this, he will have to come as a simple youth to sit with the youth and to listen to the Pope. So the atmosphere, especially with the youth, they are getting ready. They've prepared their word to the Pope. Two of the youth will be speaking to the Pope as well. I must say that the preparations are heightening. Now the website is open. And on the website, we are using all the social media, the Facebook, the Twitter, and we have a large team that is undertaking all these social media in four languages, French, Arabic, English, and Italian. People can go on the website lbpapalvisit.com.org, FR, any... end of organization, and they can find the site and find it in four languages, French, Arabic, English, and Italian.
The youth meeting, where will that be taking place exactly? Can you describe the place for
us? Yes, the youth meeting will take place in the public place of the Maronite Patriarchal Residence.
In Bukirke.
The place can fit about 20,000 youth, and the function is already set. The Pope will be with the youth about an hour, 15 minutes. However, the youth will be, that's at around 6 o'clock, from 6 o'clock until 7:15. But the youth will be there from 3 o'clock, gathering, starting in prayer, waiting for the Pope, acclaiming him. And they will be staying afterwards as well. However, before the coming of the Pope to Lebanon, 1 month and a half, which will be beginning of August, in 10, 15 days, a standard set of 2 hours prayer will go in all the parishes of the Middle East,
where the all people, the
all the parish of the Middle East, the people can take that prototype of a prayer that we prepared, and they can adapt it to their parish, and do an evening of preparation. 9 days before the coming of the Pope, we have prepared a novena, based upon the chaplet of light that John Paul II was dear to John Paul II, that's going to go as well in all the parishes of the Middle East. And every home will light a candle for 9 days that will be distributing all throughout the Middle East. And the people will prepare the prayer for 9 days novena. 2 days before the arrival of Pope Benedict, in the five regions of Lebanon, the five main districts of Lebanon, and in large places like stadiums, there will be gathering of the youth for an evening of prayer, of 2 hours prayer as well, in preparation for the Pope to come. And at the end of that prayer, the bishop of the region will be sending the youth out to go in 2 days await for the coming of the Pope. On the media level, all the media in Lebanon, the TVs, the newspapers, and the radios, they've committed airtime, large airtimes. If we had to put it in financial terms, it's highly expensive. All these media institutions have donated airtime and programs and media people to accompany the visit of the Pope. We will be working with them very closely to put in their hands what we have in terms of material knowledge in order for them to really accompany the visit of the Pope as highly and as efficiently as they can.